There will be a spiritual aspect to my word, of course, but I just want to give just a little bit of a history lesson, really, this morning. Just before Christmas, I took that study about when actually was Jesus born, not so much talking about the year, but at the time of the year, the season of the year. And it's not on December the 25th, but I'm not going to go into that. But we were looking at that and we were just thinking about the different prophecies in the Old Testament and other things. And in essence, Jesus was actually born about 4 to 6 years before BC. And we can look at the historical dates, we can look at the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel and the years that it meant, and from the time that it was decreed that Jerusalem was going to be rebuilt and the records and everything like that. And so it was roughly about 4 to 6 BC. And I mentioned in the study that there were basically, or have been basically, three major calendars that have brought these dates into being, if I can put it that way. The Hebrew calendar was a calendar that was based more on, well, it was based on the moon, the lunar months, and not the solar. And it's the official calendar, even today, of the state of Israel. And by this calendar, with this calendar, they fix their dates for their feasts that they have throughout the year, and their religious holidays, and their appropriate public reading of the Torah. And it's still used, as I said, today. And it is dated, actually, from what they call the Anno Mundi, which is Latin for the in the year of the world. And the Hebrew means from the creation of the world. So their calendar actually starts way back, a long time before ours does. And I'll be coming to that in a minute. They date it back to the moment when they believe from scripture, from different other records, that the Genesis account started and the world was created. And that was in use by the Hebrews, and there were other calendars that were based on the months, etc., in that particular time. And then in 45 BC, Julius Caesar decided to replace this older calendar and the other Roman calendars that were based on similar datings. And it became the first solar calendar that is to do with the Earth's revolution around the sun of 365 and a quarter days. But they decided that was done in back in, as I say, 45 BC. But then later, in the Christian era, in the 16th century, they decided that they needed to adjust the calendar because it was out by a little bit and so many things happened over the years. And in 1582, Pope Gregory ruled that this new calendar that they had put together would be now used in the Christian world, and it spread throughout the Europe, etc., and the rest of the world. And it's called the Gregorian calendar. So there you have those three, and I'll be explaining this a little bit more before we get into other things. So you have to ask yourself, what year are we celebrating today? We are celebrating, or at least, what is the date that you will have on your calendars from today? Now, if you have a Gregorian calendar, it will be 2023 AD. But if you have a more modern calendar, it will still be 2023, but it will be 2023 CE. I presume you've noticed that, haven't you, how these things are changing? And there's a confusion about the modern system. We have BC, but we also have BCE. We have AD, but we also have CE. Now, we of the older generation, and even the younger as well, we understand what BC and AD mean, because the idea to date the calendar, for the Christian world that was, from the birth of Christ, was first proposed in 525 by a monk called Dionysius. And that was standardized then with the Julian and the Gregorian calendar, and again it spread throughout the world, the European world, etc. And quite simply, BC is from the English before Christ, AD is from the Latin Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord. That's what they mean when we understand that. But what about BCE and CE? Because what they've done now is, it's still dated from the same time, but instead of calling it before Christ, they're now calling it of the common era, the common or current era. So BCE is before the common era. And this was actually introduced right about the 1700s, which was a surprise to me. And for over 100 years or so, the Jews have actually, the Jewish academics, should I say, have been using this for more than 100 years. And it became more widespread at the end of the last century, more by the academics and more by the scientists. And there's a reason for that, because quite simply, people have been trying to attempt to get rid of anything to do with Christ and his influence in the world. And AD means in the Latin, in the year of the Lord. And that Lord being referred to is Jesus Christ. That's why we say it. And some of them justify changing it because they say, well, actually, Jesus wasn't actually born in the year that we think he was. He was probably born 4 to 6 years before that, etc. So we shouldn't really put a calendar and date our calendar on an inaccurate date. They can use all manner of reasons for doing it. But it is confusing when we have all of these. But I'm just laying this as well because there were other calendars and there were other dates. Now, nothing to do with the Christian one in that sense, but way back, just as the Hebrews had their calendars, the Sumerians had theirs, the Egyptians had theirs, the Assyrians had theirs, the Babylonians had theirs, the Chinese had theirs. And in the Islamic calendar that's dated from the time of Muhammad, they're not celebrating 2023, they're celebrating 1444 or 45. They're roughly around that time. The Chinese, with all their different system of years and the year of the tiger and the year of the dragon, etc., it's over 4,000 plus years that they're celebrating. The Jewish calendar this year is 5782-83. That's the date on their calendar. Now, the new years in these different religions and different calendars, etc., they all begin at different times of the year, all depending on which country you live in and which religion you celebrate. It's confusing, isn't it, when you get all of these. Most ancient calendars were lunar and based on the cycles of the moon. Now, the Hebrew calendar doesn't just have one new year, it has two new years. Those of you that have studied this and know this, because the Hebrew calendar has a religious calendar and it has a civil calendar. And this was done way back at the time of Moses when the Lord instituted this. The religious calendar, the first month of the religious calendar is the month of Nisan and it starts in March or April. The civil calendar is the first month of Tishri, which is in September and October. Gets more and more confusing. If you're good at mathematics, you can understand it a little bit more. The Hebrew year count, it starts actually, the count of it, when it began, 3761 BC. And it was implemented in the 12th century by a Jewish philosopher called Maimonides. And he established a time frame from the biblical date of creation. And he did it by using what they call the Masoretic text, which is the text of the Old Testament that our modern Bibles are translated from. Because it was a work in about the 6th century to about the 10th century by different scholars in the Jewish, Babylonian and Palestinian Talmud academies. They wanted the original text of the Old Testament to really be, not when I say clarified it. They want it to be clear and to make it sure it was correct. It was proven to be correct because when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, there was hardly any difference between what they had done and what they had found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And by their calculations, they believe that Adam was created, the creation of the world, and Adam in particular, was 3,760 BC. Now, what does all that mean? And Christians have tried to do the same. When was the creation? When was Adam created? Etc., etc. And they've used the historical dates in the Bible and historical records and chronology to try and discover when Adam and when creation took place. In 1650, you've heard of this man maybe, Archbishop James Usher, and he used the calculations in the Old Testament and the Masoretic text, and he dated the time of Adam and the creation at 4004 BC. Now, there's differences in all of these. Isaac Newton, the great Christian scientist, that great man of God, he dated it at 4000 BC. Martin Luther, the great reformer, he dated it at 3,961 BC. As I say, the Hebrew calendar was 3,760. The Septuagint, the Greek translation before Christ came, they dated it about 4,650 BC. So you can see there are differences. We don't know the exact time of creation. Now, what I want to show as well, that this is all from the Bible. This is from the biblical records that God has given to us. And there are some very interesting facts of chronology in the Bible, in the first chapters, especially when it talks about who was born and who begat so and so. Did you know that Adam lived to see the birth of Noah's father? And when Adam died at the age of 930, Lamech was 56 years of age. We don't think in terms like this, do we? We think one's gone, the others have come. Adam did not see the birth of Noah, because he died about 124 years before Noah, but Adam's son, Seth, did. Adam's son, Seth, was still alive when Noah was 14 years of age. Can you see how different things could be passed on orally and traditions and things like that? Noah actually met all of the pre-flood patriarchs except Adam and Enoch. Noah was 893 when Abraham was born. And Noah died age 950 when Abraham was around 60 years of age. Noah's son Shem was 490 when Isaac was born. Sarah died before him. Shem was still 527 years old when Sarah died. Shem actually outlived Abraham, because he was 565 when Abraham died. And Shem was 600 years old when he died, and at that time Isaac was 110, and the twins, Esau and Jacob, were 50. When you read the chronologies again, take note of that. It's interesting, isn't it? All this was going on at that time. But you might ask me this morning, what has all this got to do with the new year, Nikki? What all this calendar, all these dates, all these years, all these people that were living? Quite simply, no matter which calendar they were living in, whatever they were recognizing the year to begin or end, etc., there were hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, when you add them all together, of new years that were experienced by each one of them. They all experienced some new year of a sort during their lifetimes. And in those years, we look back, and it's hard to remember sometimes some of the years that we have lived, isn't it? When they've had all of those years, they had memories far beyond what we could ever imagine, of years that had gone past, experiences that they had had, people that they'd known, places that they'd been, experiences, as I say, that they had. They had seen a lot of people, they'd seen a lot of things. Some of them they'd seen were a great blessing to them, some of them were not. Some of them were very, very good, some of them were very, very evil. And it's no different today, is it? Absolutely no different. And all the memories that we've got here, they add up to hundreds if we count the new years that each one of us have experienced, even from when we were little children. And all of us have had experiences, have had things that we've enjoyed, things that we haven't enjoyed, things that have been a blessing, things that haven't. We've had pain and sorrow and unhappiness. We've had great joy and excitement and anticipation. Every one of us have enjoyed these. And what I want to do is just leave you with these characters, just some thoughts about the new years that some of them faced in the Lord. Abraham, how many new years did Abraham have? We know that for 75 of those new years, he lived an ordinary life. Until one day that new year changed forever when the Lord came and met him and he had to leave where he was and go to Haran. He didn't have any normal new years after that. The next 10 years of his life that he spent, he was waiting for the promised son that God gave him. And every year he would probably, will it be this year? Will it be this year? And after 10 years, he and Sarah gave up, and so we know the story of Hagar and Ishmael. And he was 86 years when he bore Ishmael, and he probably thought that was it. It's over now, I've got my son, and God has fulfilled. But he had the shock of his life when he was 99 years of age, and God said, Abraham, Ishmael isn't the one. And that year was the most surprising one of his life, but the most blessed one of his life, and yet the beginning again of another era in his experience, where one day he would have to offer Isaac on the mountain. So the new years that he experienced, at 100 years old, he received the actual promise of Isaac. And it says the sum of the years of Abraham's life were 175 years, and he died in a good old age, full of years. He had lived a full life in the experience of the Lord. And then we have Isaac, 40 years of age he was when the Lord provided him with his wife, Rebekah. But again, 20 years he had to wait for his sons to be born. And each year they would be saying, will it be this year? Will it be this year? The promise of the Father, will it be this year? Jacob, when he went to find a wife, we know the story. 7 years he waited for Rachel, and they were just like a day really to him because of the love he had for her. And every year he went, one less, one less, one less, until I received my promise. But what did he get? He didn't get what he expected, and he had to work another 7 years and then another 6 years for his uncle. And he says, I've been in your house 20 years. I served 14 years for two daughters and 6 years for the flocks. And then we know that he goes back. But that's not the end of his life, is it? He's had all of that then, and he has his sons. And at the end of his life, we know the story of what happened. At the end of his life, Jacob is speaking to Pharaoh in Egypt, and he says, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. And he says this, few and evil. And by that word evil, it doesn't mean terribly, but it means pain, it means unhappiness, it means misery, it means hard, it means difficult. And he says, few and all of that have been the days of the years of my life, and I haven't even attained the days of the life of my fathers in their pilgrimage. And he had suffered, we know that, the years. And he never ever thought that he would see his son Joseph again. But one year, when he least expected it, when his sons came back from Egypt, he had the greatest news he could ever have had in all of his life. His son was alive, and his son was going to be restored to him. And he talks to Pharaoh, and it says that Jacob lived in Egypt for another 17 years. And every new year, he probably thought, Lord, give me another one. Give me another one that I might enjoy these 17 years with my son. And he dies at 147 years. And Joseph himself, he had 17 years of being the favorite, 17 years of not worrying about anything, 17 years of looking forward to the next year and the next year and the next year. But one year, everything changed in his life. And we know the story of what happened to Joseph. And he had those years from 17 years of age until he was 30, wondering what the next year, wondering what was going to happen, wondering where God was, wondering whether the dreams would ever be fulfilled, being disappointed after the 2 years when he was waiting to be restored to Pharaoh, because waiting for the butler to tell Pharaoh about him. And then when he's 30 years of age, everything changes. And we know the story. And it becomes a new year of blessing, of anointing, of power, of authority, of you name it, he experienced it. And then we come to Moses, 40 years. And how many of those years was he waiting to think, when is this time when I'm going to deliver my people? When is the year that I'm going to deliver my people? We know the story. And then he has 40 years in the backside of the desert, again thinking, I've blown it. It's never going to happen. And he goes on in the mundane life of being a shepherd in the wilderness, in the desert, until one day he has a new year and a new experience in his life when the Lord meets him at the burning bush. He never knew what he was going to be going through, did he? But we all know the life of Moses. It turned around. The Israelites, 430 years they were in Egypt, one generation after the next generation, wondering when they were going to be set free, wondering when the promise that God had given to Abraham, yes, they will be in captivity, but they will be released after 400 years, waiting all that time, watching and waiting each new year in each generation. And they were set free, and they were released. They ate manna for 40 years in the wilderness. And we know what happened there, don't we? I'm sick of this manna. I'm sick of this manna. When are we going to go into the promised land? But the Lord said, he knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. And you know, brothers and sisters, sometimes we can feel like we're trudging through this great wilderness, can't we? But there is an end to it. And the Lord says, your garments did not wear out, nor did your foot swell, and you didn't lack anything for those 40 years. The year of Jubilee. Every 50 years in the land of Israel, if you had been in debt and you were sold and to somebody else, another Israelite, to pay off your debt and you became his slave, you would have to work for him until the year of Jubilee. And if it happened in the first of the 50 years, you had 49 more years to go before you could be set free. If it happened in the 49th year, then in that you only had 1 year before you could be set free. So each new year meant something to those Israelites. There's many other things I could say. The priests and the Levites, they had to work for the Lord from the age of 25 and 30 until they retired at the age of 50. You have Joshua, who was well advanced in years. And the Lord said, there remains much land for you to possess. And we know about Caleb, 40 years of age, when he was banned from going into the promised land because of the sins of the other spies and the other people. But he says, the Lord has kept me alive. He says, 45 years, and here I am this day, 85 years old, and I'm still up for it. I'm still prepared for my promise. And it goes on then through the judges and the kings, the good kings, the bad kings, the reigns of blessing, the years of blessing, the years of oppression, the years of hopelessness, the years of expectancy. So we've got all of these examples and of many others. And each year they would be waiting for something new to happen, and we are waiting for something new to happen this year. And we have to, in one sense, we remember the times of past years, but in another way we forget. But we have new years. They were waiting year after year, not knowing when God would answer, not knowing what situations would change, not knowing what to do sometimes, and not understanding what God was doing. You find it in the Psalms very often, and David said, my soul thirsts for God. When shall I come and appear before God? Which year? Which day? When will you come to me, Lord? But they all had to learn to walk by faith, didn't they? Just like we have. And walking by faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And it was their faith, the scripture says, that made our ancestors pleasing to God. And one of the things that God promised was the Messiah. And in Daniel 70 weeks, that's why the Jews were expecting, and I mentioned this on that Bible study, this is why the Jews were actually expecting the Messiah to come at the time Jesus was born. They weren't just hoping fanciful things in the air. Because of the prophecies of the Old Testament, they were expecting Jesus to come, the Messiah to come. And we're told about Elizabeth and Zechariah being well advanced in years. And Anna, who was a woman of great age, she was 84 years of age and had been a widow for many, many years. They were all looking for the promise of the Messiah. Which year is it going to be, Lord? Is it this year? Are you coming this year? Are you coming this year? And we know that he fulfilled that promise. The prophet Habakkuk said this, Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. And in wrath, remember mercy. In the midst of the years, and in the midst of the years of all of these characters and many, many more, God made it known. He made it known what he was doing. He made it known why they had gone through different experiences. He made it known what he was going to do. And it says, in the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Did he do that? When the Messiah came, did he do that in the midst of the years? Well, if you ask the woman who had the flow of blood for 12 years, if he remembered mercy in the midst of her years, yes. And what about the woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, was bent over, and in no way could raise herself up? Did he remember mercy in the midst of her years? There was a certain man who had an infirmity for 38 years. Did he ever think in the midst of his years that he would receive mercy? In the Acts of the Apostles, the man over 40 years of age at the Gate Beautiful, upon whom the miracle of healing was performed, did he ever think that in the midst of his years, because he had been there all the time Jesus was there, but Jesus wasn't there anymore. And I believe the Lord left that man until the disciples went there, that his name would be glorified in the church and in the midst of the years. And Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years and was paralyzed, when Peter came and prayed for him, in the midst of his years, he received mercy. That's the cry of our hearts, isn't it? Revive your work, Lord, in the midst of the years. Remember the days of old, it says in Deuteronomy. Consider the years of many generations. And the psalmist says, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times, and I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. 2023. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. But the cry of our heart is, as we stand once again on the spiritual borders of the invisible, we want the Lord to come. We've sung it this morning. We want the Holy Spirit to come and fill us, revive us, quicken us. We want to see wonderful things taking place. There are things we've been praying about for many years that we want to see the Lord doing. We want to pray for our nation that God will bless us and come. And in the midst of, in wrath, remember mercy, because that's what our nation deserves. There will be pain this year. There will be sorrow. There will be hardships. There will be heartache. That's the way of life. That's what happens every year. But we are praying that in that there will be mercy and there will be grace and there will be help and there will be strength and there will be blessing and there will be an outpouring of the Spirit and the glory of the Lord to be seen once again in each one of our lives and in the church. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me, Lord, that we might be a testimony to your grace and your mercy. It's an exciting time. If we look on that level, it's depressing. If we look on that level, it's all negative, it's horrible, and we don't want to look that way. But our eyes, brothers and sisters, are on the God of the years that's been great and merciful to all the ones that have gone before us. I hope I've been able in some way to share my heart. I wish I could tell you what 2023 is going to bring forth, and I can't. But together we're going to face it. Together we're going to be blessed together. We're going to cry together. We're going to laugh together. We're going to rejoice together. We're going to strengthen one another together, because that's what it's all about. And who knows, in the midst of this year, what the Lord is going to do. We thank him. We have a new life amongst us, little Naomi, that we are going to be look forward to see. And we're going to have another one in 2 or 3 months' time. It's a year of blessing. May it be a year of great increase. Amen. 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 The Lord bless.